Welcome to the IC Medan podcast. We are so glad and wanted to thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about who we are, our service times and location, or how can you get involved, you can check our website at icmedan.com. We hope you enjoy the message.
Hey guys, it's so good to be with you again this week. I really am excited about the message today. I have something in my heart I want to share with you and just share with you some things that will help you right there where you're at in your life. I feel like it's part of the theme of this whole series. We're nearing the end of the series, Ready for More. And if you remember, what we've been doing over the last several weeks is taking this journey from Easter to Pentecost, from Resurrection Day to the day that the Holy Spirit would fall on the followers of Jesus. And we're following the disciples in this. You know, the day of Pentecost was 50 days after Jesus rose from the grave. And we're seeing this promise come to fruition, this promise coming to fulfillment that Jesus said, hey, there is more. There's more coming. It's better that I leave so that what is promised by the Father can come. And I'm excited because I believe that there is more for you. I believe that there is more for your family. I believe that there is more for the city of Medan. There's more for our church. There is more, and it is just around the corner. So as we look at this series today and continue, what I want to focus on is some of Jesus' final words. You know, we're looking at the end and some of the final things he said before the ascension. And if you remember Ascension Day, we would have celebrated, it would have been Thursday. So 10 days from there is the day of Pentecost. And Jesus ascended into heaven to return to his Father. And there were some final words that he said. And people's final words usually mean something. There's normally something important about it. The final words normally cause you to lean in, to pay attention. I mean, if someone knows, hey, these are the final things I need to say to you, it makes you want to lean in. Hey, what's he going to say? This is important. So Jesus had some final words that he had to say to us. As I was reading and preparing this week, I was also looking at the life of the Apostle Paul. And he was at the end of his life. He was nearing the end when he wrote the second letter to Timothy. We have it in our Bible as 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy. And he writes to Timothy, and he knows that the end is coming. Paul is actually writing the letter from prison. He's soon to be executed, and he knows this. So when he writes his final words, there's some power there. I can imagine this letter when it's being delivered to Timothy. Could you imagine? Paul, his mentor, is in prison, and here's this letter. I can just imagine this scene. Timothy, I've got a letter. It's from Paul. Hey, give it to me. What did he say? I mean, it must be important. And he opens the letter and reads it, and we have this for us today as teaching for the church and the power of the Holy Spirit that's behind the words, that the Word of God is alive and it impacts us even today. And Paul, knowing it was the end, he says this in chapter 4, starting with verse 1. He says, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. He says, preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. But we could relate with that right now. Hey, be prepared whether you are in quarantine or not. Be prepared whether there is a crisis or not. Here's Paul saying, hey, I'm not going to be here much longer, but let me tell you, preach the word of God and be prepared in your life. Be prepared no matter what the situation. Patiently correct and rebuke and encourage the people with good teaching. For the time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires, and they will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. And he says in verse 5, but you should keep a clear mind in every situation. we should keep a clear mind. Not only Timothy, every single one of us. We're in a difficult situation right now. And Paul's final words telling the church, telling the one that he was mentoring, giving this letter saying, hey, keep a clear mind. And then he continues and says, don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. And he's saying, as for me, my life has already come to an end. And he continues and says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now I'm about to receive the prize. And the prize is not only for me, but it's for everyone who eagerly looks forward to the return of Jesus, to his appearing. And Paul's writing this letter, and knowing it's the end, we have to lean in and pay attention. And I imagine the excitement Timothy had in holding onto that letter and reading those words and hanging on to that. Wow, this is important. I love that statement, work at telling others the good news. Work at it. Work at telling others the good news. As I looked at Jesus' final words this week, one that really stood out to me was in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach good news to everyone. I love good news. Everyone who knows me knows that I am a good news kind of guy. I'm positive. I'm encouraging. I'm optimistic. My cup is always half full. Ask someone. My cup is always half full, not half empty. I'm positive. I'm optimistic. I don't even really like to hear about problems or complaints unless the person bringing them has a solution. I'm a good news kind of guy. Maybe you remember the story in Scripture when there was a little girl that was dying. And the father comes to Jesus and he's saying, hey, I need you to come and pray for my daughter. She's sick. She's in the bed. She's dying. And Jesus starts to go with this man and he's distracted along the way. And he stops and prays for another woman and heals her. And then as they start to move on, the man's like, come on, my daughter's dying. And then a messenger comes and says, hey, don't bother Jesus anymore because your daughter has died. And they continue on to the man's house. And man, when they get there, everyone is weeping and grieving. And it says wailing, like loud crying. They're just all distraught. And there's so much sadness and all of this going on. And Jesus walks in and he even says something that when you read it, it almost makes you uncomfortable. Jesus walks in. The girl has died. There's all the weeping and wailing. And he basically says, hey, do you guys mind not crying so loudly? I mean, could you imagine the disciples? Jesus, maybe you shouldn't say that right here. It's a little bit, don't tell the people not to cry. The daughter died. And then he goes even further and says, hey, she's not dead. She's only sleeping. Man, I love that story. Then he heals her. He says, a little girl, rise up. And she does. I love that story. Man, you want to talk about good news. That is positive. That is encouraging. That is optimistic. That is good news. I mean, you can ask around my house. I don't even like hearing that something is broken. You can ask my wife. You can ask my kids. If someone ever yells out, Dad, the TV remote is broken. I don't even like hearing that. No, I'll answer, well, no. It's not broken. Because inside what I'm thinking is, it's only sleeping. I give it a little tap, click, click. It works. I'm a good news kind of guy. Positive. I believe in that. And I know that that's part of what God has offered us. If you like some good news, let me share some good news with you for a moment. Let's take a look at this. Wow, isn't that refreshing? It's good to just have some good news. I feel like we are surrounded by so much bad news all the time. One of Jesus' final words is saying, go and preach good news to everyone. Go and spread good news. Go and share good news. Go and post on your Instagram and Facebook good news To who? Everyone. Everyone. So Paul was telling Timothy what he had learned from God. This is the ministry that God has given us. Work at telling people good news. Work at it. It's more difficult for some people than others. It may be more difficult for you. Wow, the good news thing, Pastor Chris, I struggle with good news. All of us have that friend that we say, hey, how are you doing? Well, I'm still living. You know, it's like, that's not, is that good news? I guess. I mean, you're not doing any better than you're breathing. But some of it, he even tells it, work at it. If you need to work at it, work at it. But give good news. Bad news is all around us. I get so sick and tired of bad news. I'm so sick of bad news, I quit watching the news on TV. And I don't mean being ignorant. I read the news. Then I can read it with a joyful, cheerful voice. You know, try that at home. Like reading the bad news. This sounds better. You can put a spin on it. But there's so much bad news, and our job as Christians is to be all about good news. So I want to share with you some very, very practical tips today that I feel like God has placed in my heart to help you with today. Some practical things. This is the first one. Be careful what news you fill yourself with. Especially in a season like this, especially in this time and what we're facing and what we are going through, be careful what news you fill yourself with. Be careful not to sit at home in isolation and quarantine and keep filling yourself up with bad news. In Scripture, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and he says to them, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He basically says to them, how can you speak good if you're not filling yourself with good? How can you speak good things if good things are not inside of you? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you don't fill yourself with good news, if you don't watch what you're filling yourself with, then what will come out of you is not going to be good news. I'm a positive person. I can share good news because I fill myself with good news. The verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, I probably share this verse a lot, and I think it's even more relevant in the season we are in right now. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. I love that verse. I fill myself up with that. I fill myself up. I believe it. I live it. And because I believe that God is for us and I believe that God is going to make everything work out for our good, that's what comes out of me. It's become natural. I haven't always been like this, but because of that moment when Jesus came into my life and he began to transform my mind and my heart, and I realized, hey, I've been filling myself up with the wrong things my whole life. Then I start being careful what news I fill myself with. And man, I live it. I believe it. God is for you. He will make everything work out for your good if you love him. I believe it. I live it. I'm filled with that. So that's what naturally comes out. My next point for you is be careful what news you spread. Be careful what news you spread. I love this verse in Proverbs chapter 10. Verse 11, it says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. That should describe every single follower of Jesus. Every one of us who have been made righteous, not by our own works, but by the work of Jesus. So let me ask you at home a tough question. Would the people around you describe you as a fountain of life? Would people around you describe you as someone who speaks life, as someone who speaks encouragement, as someone who speaks good news? It's so important for us to work at it and speak good news. Why? Just like Paul said, it's the ministry that God has given us. It's our purpose. It's how we make a difference in a world full of bad news is by sharing, hey, there is good news. So fill up with it. so that you can become a fountain of life. Our verse for this series is in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And that verse says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we could ask or think." I believe that verse. I have filled myself up with it. It's the word of God. It's the truth. I believe it. I live it. It has transformed my mind. It's a part of who I am. I say it with me at home. God's power is at work within me. Say that where you're at. God's power is at work within me. God's mighty power is at work within me. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? Do you live it? Are you filling your life up with that kind of truth, with that kind of good news? Are you reminding yourself every single day when you wake up, God's mighty power is at work within me? Man, that will bring some life. That will bring some encouragement. Man, you can't be down if you're reminding yourself every day, God's work is at his God's power is at work within me. God's mighty power is at work within me. You'll start living good news. You'll start being a fountain of life. God is at work. God is at work. The gospel is good news. The word gospel literally means good news. It is good news. Salvation is available for everyone. Forgiveness is available for everyone. Peace is available for everyone. Joy is available for everyone. The end of fear is available for everyone. Freedom is available for everyone. It's good news. All of it, it is good news. So preach good news to everyone. Preach good news to everyone. Jesus' final words are full of good news. His final words are full of assignment and assurance, telling us what our assignment is and assuring us that he'll be with us. It's full of commission and commitment. We have the Great Commission where he's telling us, here's what I need you to do, and here's my commitment. I will be with you always. His final words are full of purpose and promise. Purpose and promise. Are you ready for more in your life? More is just around the corner. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, here's another one of the final things that Jesus said, something for us to lean into, something for us to pay attention to. Jesus is speaking. He's not going to be with us much longer. The disciples had to be thinking that. This is going to be important. Everything he said is important, but this is one of the last things he's saying, some of his final words. And he says, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before." He's telling them again about the Holy Spirit. He's telling them again, "I'm going to send an advocate, a counselor, a helper. I'm sending power. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be with you." The promise of the Father. Next week, we're going to have a special service celebrating the day of Pentecost. It will be the conclusion of the Ready for More series and launch us into a new normal. We have a very special guest that will be with us next week. It's going to be a great time. Leading up to this, we've been leading up. I'm ready for more. I'm ready for more. I'm preparing myself. Jesus was preparing the disciples, get ready for more because I am sending you power. I am sending you the Holy Spirit. And he had said, it's going to be better for you that I leave because what I am sending is what you need for this next step, for this new normal. Let me share with you just a few points about the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit keeps us connected to God. The Holy Spirit keeps us connected to God. In John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." the Holy Spirit keeps us connected to God. He's saying, hey, I'm going to ask the Father to send this gift to you. I'm going to ask him to send another advocate, someone who is for you, to be with you forever and to help you. He says it's the Spirit of truth. And he is going to be with you and live in you. The Holy Spirit connects us to God. I was thinking this week, probably all of us this week have thought about Wi-Fi. Man, in this season, our Wi-Fi is so important. I mean, you may be doing school at home. You may be doing work at home. Right now, you're at church at home. Our Wi-Fi is important. In my life group, when we did prayer requests, even one of the prayer requests was, hey, guys, will you pray for my Wi-Fi? I mean, it's important right now. But I was thinking about this when I was thinking about the Holy Spirit. With the Wi-Fi in my house, I have never seen the source. With my eyes, I've never seen the source of the Wi-Fi, but I know this. I know when the connection's bad. I know when I'm disconnected. I know when something's wrong. The Holy Spirit will keep you connected to God. We may never see God with our eyes until heaven. The Holy Spirit will connect with us. The Holy Spirit will connect us to God. It's part of that relationship. You know if you're disconnected. You know if you've never been connected. You know if the signal has gotten weak. We need the Holy Spirit in our life because he keeps us connected to God. The second point is this. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to know God. He teaches us how to know God. In John chapter 14, further down in that chapter, it says, all this I have spoken while still with you. Jesus says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. So we need the Holy Spirit in our life because he teaches us how to know God. The third thing is this, the Holy Spirit helps us to live the good news. You know, it's one thing to know good news. It's another thing to fill yourself with that good news and live it. The Holy Spirit will help you to live good news. In John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. The Holy Spirit comes as a helper. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes so that we are overflowing with hope. We are overflowing with good news. We are filled up. We can become a fountain of life because the Holy Spirit is inside of us. And then the fourth and final thing I want to tell you about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit empowers us to share good news. Maybe you would say, Pastor Chris, hey, I believe the good news. I think I have good news inside of me, but how do I have that power to share it? It's from the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, some more of Jesus' final words to us, so very important. Lean in, pay attention. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people everywhere about me. That gives us the purpose. What's the purpose? You're going to be my witness. You're going to tell everyone good news. What's the promise? I'm going to give you power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will have power. Maybe you've been asking questions, Pastor Chris, how do I know what is God's purpose for my life? It's to spread good news. Pastor Chris, I don't know what does God want me to do? He wants you to spread good news. How can I do that? You need to be filled with the power of God through the Holy Spirit. You need to receive the Holy Spirit and power. You can be filled with good news and you can share good news when you have been filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. Church, we have an assignment. We have an assignment. We have a commission. We have a purpose. Let me give you just one more point before we close. And that is this. I shared with you to be careful what news you fill yourself with. be careful what news you spread. The third one is this, be careful where you are looking. Be careful where you are looking. Let me share with you one more story from Acts chapter 1. This is found in verses 4 through 11. It says, one time when Jesus was eating with the disciples, this is right before he is going to ascend into heaven. This is 10 days before the Holy Spirit is going to fall on the disciples. And he's sitting with them and he commands them, like I shared with you earlier, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends the gift. Don't leave until you receive the Holy Spirit. Don't leave until you receive this promise that I told you about. Wait, there's more coming. John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 6, we see the disciples, they sort of miss something. Jesus is telling them, you're going to receive power. You're going to receive this promise I've talked about. You're going to receive something more. And the disciples are too busy looking around at their situation and they're distracted. And they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and to restore your kingdom? I mean, they were distracted. The disciples were still looking around. Jesus is saying, look here, look here. There's more. There's power coming. Jesus, what about this? They're distracted. They're looking around. They're wondering, well, what are you going to do about this? What about what I thought you were going to do? What about what I thought you were going to fix or what I thought you were going to take care of in my life? What about all of this? And Jesus replies to them in verse 7, and he basically is telling them, hey, don't focus so much on all of this. Hey, stop looking around so much. Stop looking around. Listen, I'm going to send power. And then you're going to be able to go and share good news. You're going to be my witness. You're going to receive power so that you can live the good news and you can share the good news. You have a purpose. Stop looking around. Stop being so distracted. Stop worrying so much about these things. And then in verse 9, it says, after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching. The ascension. Jesus returning back up into heaven. It says, as they strained to see him rising into heaven. Imagine this. The disciples are standing there. Jesus rises up. He said all of his final words to them. He's told them what to do. He's told them what to wait for. He's told them there's more coming. He's told them there's power. He's told them there's a promise. And then they are just left standing there and they're just looking up at the sky. Just looking up. And then there's two angels standing beside them, just suddenly appear and basically are like, hey, what you doing? Hey, what are you waiting for? What are you looking for? He'll be back, but don't you have something you need to be doing? Why do you keep just looking up at the heavens? Don't you have an assignment? Don't you have a great commission? Don't you have a purpose? Isn't there something you need to be doing, church? We have something we need to be doing. We can't be busy looking around. We can't be so distracted just looking up. Maybe I'll just hold out till Jesus comes back. Maybe just hang on. I just need to jump from one powerful moment to the next. Man, the in-between time of life is hard. I just want to keep looking up and just keep looking up and just keep looking up and just keep waiting. The angels give us such a good example. Like, hey, why do you keep looking up? He'll be back. He'll be back. Be careful where you are looking. Are you busy in your life just looking around? Looking around at the situation? Distracted by bad news? Distracted by things that you wish would get fixed? Are you busy looking up? Just looking up? Just waiting? Not sure what to do? Just waiting. And you know what to do. You need to spread good news. You need to fill yourself with good news and you need to spread it. You need to tell people what Jesus has done in your life. It is the ministry that God has given us. Work hard at it. People are depending on you. You're called to make a difference, to speak good news. Are you looking around? Are you looking up? Are you looking back? Regrets? Shame? Guilt? I can't stop looking back. It's It's haunting me. But looking back never gets you anywhere. Unless looking back is a motivation pushing you forward, it's not good news. It's a hindrance. Quit wasting your time. Stop looking back. Stop looking around. Stop looking up. Stop looking back. What you need to do is to look forward. Look forward. Look forward. Fix your eyes ahead. Paul said, hey, I ran my race. You run a race by looking forward. You've got a purpose. You've got a destination. There's somewhere to be looking. Are you looking forward? Paul said, I'm about to receive the prize. And it's not just for me. It's for all who are looking forward. For all who are looking forward. The prize awaits for me. Anticipation, expectation, hope. Looking forward means moving forward. When you're looking forward, you can be moving forward. You're not looking around. You're not distracted. You're not just stuck looking up, waiting. You're not looking back and filled with regret. And I can't get over my past and I can't move ahead because of what I did yesterday. But you are looking forward and you are moving forward. Hey, the time for looking around and looking back is over. The time to look forward is now. Looking forward to more. Looking forward to a new normal. Looking forward to what God will do in our lives. Looking forward to what God is going to do in you and through you. Look forward. We're looking forward to speaking good news. So be careful what you fill yourself with. Be careful what you spread. Be careful where you're looking. We have a purpose and we have a promise. Can I pray for you for a moment where you are right now? And there's just a few areas I want to pray for. For one, I want to pray that you today will say, God, fill me with good news. I've been hearing it my whole life, but it's never penetrated my heart. I know the good news in my head, but it's not in my heart. Therefore, I haven't been able to live it. And since I'm not able to live it, I'm not able to speak it. Father, for those at home right now today, Lord, that have struggled to live good news, they're not able to speak good news. Lord, they're distracted. Maybe like the disciples, they're looking around and they were following you and they trust you and they believe you. But in the end, they're asking the question, well, are you going to take care of this thing? What about this, Jesus? And he's saying, no, look forward. I'm sending more. Quit being distracted. Quit being distracted. Don't let everything around you, don't let the situations, don't let the bad news distract you when you have good news. And just say, Jesus, fill me with good news. Lord, this week, help me to be careful what I fill myself with, who I surround myself with, what voices I receive into my life. Maybe you're there at home and you would say, I need to receive salvation. Wow, good news, salvation is for everyone. I need that. Wherever you are right now, just pray this prayer. Jesus, I believe in the good news. I believe in the good news. Lord, I need some good news in my life. I've been falling apart. I'm stuck in sin. I can't get free. I'm stuck and pulled in this direction and that direction. I have no hope. I have no good news in my life. And Jesus, you're offering me good news of salvation and forgiveness and a new life. Just where you are, say, Jesus, I received that good news today. And then you've received salvation. Your sins are forgiven. And then for every one of us, as we lead into this next Sunday, as we lead into the end of this series, the day of Pentecost, I just want to ask you where you are to get ready for more. Spend time this week saying, Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me power to live good news. Give me power to speak good news. Give me your Holy Spirit. Lord, I believe in the promise. I believe in the promise. I believe in the gift. Jesus, I need this. I have purpose. Now I need the promise. I had the assignment, now I need the assurance. I have the great commission, now I need the completion of the commitment that you will give me the power to fulfill this mission. that I could spread good news to everyone around me. Lord Jesus, give me the power through your Holy Spirit to be a fountain of life. Lord, I pray for the church today. I pray for IC Maidan. I pray for every church around this city and around the world who are tuning in today. Lord, make us a fountain of life. Lord, I pray that this church would be a fountain of life to the city of Maidan. A fountain of life, that we would be known as a fountain of life. Lord, that in the midst of all the darkness and bad news, Lord, that your church would be spreading the good news. Hope, anticipation, a reason to look forward, a promise for more. Lord, bless your people today. Lord, I pray that your peace and your joy would fill their homes. And Lord, that every home this week would lean into your final words and that they would be waiting patiently this week saying, Jesus, I'm ready for more. I'm ready for whatever you want to send to my life. Fill me up so that I can be poured out. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm so glad to have this time with you today. I believe that as you pray this week, the Holy Spirit is going to fill your life and he's going to fill your home and he is going to guide you and direct you. You're going to stop looking around and you are going to be overflowing with good news. You won't be able to help but speak good news because it's going to fill your heart. I love you guys so much. God bless you this week and I will look forward to seeing you next Sunday.
This is the end of the message today. Thank you again for listening to our podcast.